Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. We're telling you to make the switch from Google Podcasts because it no longer exists to Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel on Apple. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server, $2.99 per month. Why do you need to be bothered with everything on Elon's Twitter when you can just argue with Heat fans and us all day long? Check it out, $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description on the podcast feed, on the YouTube channel, and pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, including a new one. Of course, they're big Miami Heat fans. Why wouldn't they be? It's called Big Brother Ironwork. You can find them at bigbrotherironwork.com. Over 20 years of experience, established experts in the field, licensed and insured, they guarantee steadfast fabrication and installation with competitive pricing. Free estimates across Florida, including Dade County, Broward, the Keys, and more. So check them out. Again, it's bigbrotherironwork.com. That's bigbrotherironwork.com. In English, you can call Abraham at 786-406-5780. En Espanol, 305-218 8681. I guess I should read the numbers in Spanish also, but now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I've got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. His stuff has been ripped off all day long by the NBA. We are currently in suit. Hiring attorneys, and from the Channel 10 studios, it's Playoff Willie, our guy Will Manso. Yeah, right. You can find him in the Winner's Circle. You can find him here in Broward County from time to time at the Panthers Arena, yeah, at the Bally Studios, and all that good stuff. We appreciate you squeezing us in today. Please tell the people what you had on your La Spada sub today.
I was simple. I did because when I was younger, I could do like the full monster or like the Italian with the Genoa salami and all that stuff. I went turkey and ham and provolone, light mayo, lettuce, tomato, and a small because I'm almost 50 and I got to watch my blood pressure. So, you know, that's the little things you have to do as you get older.
Really? Because I'm older than you. And I slab the oil and vinegar all on. You got to put the oil and vinegar on the bread. That's the key thing.
That's when the you
That see, well, I'm just an old me, but I'm still doing it. I'll just ask. I got to ask Greg here. Greg, did you ever go to La Spada down here?
Yes, yes, I have.
I was gonna say, are you too dated for that? No, you're not too dated for that. Well, Alex is too dated for that. No,
I've never been. I'm is it better than Frankie's Deli in Hialeah?
I can't say I've been there. I can't. Well, I know Brady likes the sandwich shops of Fort Lauderdale and Broward County as well. We used to have one as a sponsor, actually. But I am a big La Spada fan. You went, as we said, to the OG one. And Davey, we appreciate you fitting us in today. This is the vibes episode. We're going to get a little bit of strategy here. I'm going to let Brady and Alex geek it up a little bit just because we need to prior to the Heat playing Philadelphia tomorrow night. We're about 24 hours away as we speak. Currently, there are West play-in games going on. The Heat are in the play-in. Of course, the NBA did not acknowledge the Heat's presence with the playoff Jason video that they did today instead of the playoff Jimmy video. But I'll get to this, Will, because you and I had a conversation about 2 weeks ago at the arena. We're talking about what a drag this season was. Mm-hmm. And you recalled a conversation that we had at exactly the same time 1 year ago, and then we were having dinner in New York in the second round.
Yep.
So I'll just ask you this. Do the vibes feel better or worse than they did at this time last year?
Well, first of all, I call those our urinal conversations because they tend to come with that next side by side at the urinals where we look at each other. We're like, man, this season is dragging. And we all, you know, so that's where the
thanks for the imagery. Starts. I appreciate that. I'm sure people are appreciating that.
That's where the thoughts start processing. But I will say this. I felt better today, and maybe it's just the optimist in me because the game is tomorrow. I felt better today at practice that there was a different vibe and spirit with the team as opposed to the drudgery of the long season and the ups and downs and the same questions about when the rotation is going to be set, when they're going to be playing better, are they going to get consistent, who's going to be healthy. I thought today the vibe I got and I felt better about than our conversation a week or two ago is that these guys know that this is it. Like, there's no more like, hey, the regular season, let's get this going. It's now or never, and they've been put in that spot before, especially Jimmy, and they've proven themselves in those spots. So I felt better after today, but like all Heat fans, I think, you know, you're just kind of up and hoping that the same thing happens again.
Will, welcome back to the program. I'm interested in your perspective on who you think the biggest X factor is against Philadelphia tomorrow night. That's been something that a lot of people are saying this could be a big Tyler Hero night. Mm-hmm. I'm interested for the guy that you think is the biggest X factor for Miami now that we know that we won't have Terry Rozier. And yes, I do say we when I talk about this team on this. I'm not objective. Who do you think is the biggest X factor?
You could go a bunch of different directions, and you know that with this roster because there's so much depth and so many guys kind of are expected to play a certain role. But I think the honest, obvious answer is Tyler for two reasons. Number one is he's talented. We know what he can do, how he can create, how he can score and be ignitable, as Spo likes to say. But I think number two is the storyline we're not talking about as much is we forget that Tyler wasn't in the run last year. And I don't care what Tyler says, and trust me, he's tried to deflect this. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think there's part of Tyler that was in that run, and while he enjoyed it last year and loved to see his teammates get to the finals, part of it was like, man, this sucks. I'm not part of it. Like, I want to be part of that. So I think there is a chip on Tyler's shoulder for sure that he wants to prove that he can be that player we saw in the bubble a few years ago that we've seen in glimpses in games of the regular season, that he can be it again in the biggest stage in a play-in, then the playoff in the biggest moment. So I'll start with Tyler because I think he truly is the one guy who can take over a game, give you 25, 30 points, and help you win big games.
I want to let Alex get in here in a second, but I do also want to update for those who haven't heard yet the news that did come out of practice. No Terry Rozier. That neck injury is lingering. This has now been a couple of weeks and doesn't seem like he's coming back right away. There was some optimism maybe before today's evaluation, but I hadn't heard great things when I was at the game the other night, and this kind of fit with it. Duncan Robinson, however, is probable, and Kevin Love we are expecting to play. So seems to me like we'll see the same starting lineup that we've seen recently, probably with Caleb Martin starting, I guess, in Rozier's place, probably guarding Maxey at the beginning, and then you might see a little bit of Highsmith and well, a lot of Highsmith probably, and then a little bit maybe even with DeLon Wright after that with Duncan coming off the bench. But Alex, we've talked about this and kind of X-factor type players. Will mentions Tyler here, but so many of our conversations have cycled back to Jimmy, and you know, I want to get into Bam a little bit because we don't know what Embiid we're going to see necessarily on Wednesday. He practiced today fully, but he didn't play the other night. He tends to not make it through playoff games. I'm just curious, what how did you play him with a sense of, okay, look, he's going to get 30 or whatever, make sure that the other guys don't kill you, or do you load up on him? Do you double on him? How much do you help Bam?
I think that's actually a great question, and it's one of the things that I've been thinking about myself. I think Bam has obviously shown in the past, specifically in that last series that they played against each other, that he can handle Embiid one-on-one a lot of the times. And I think that was one of the biggest reasons why we talked about it plenty at the time, that series shifted back in their favor after they lost those two in Philadelphia, which, by the way, even more proof that you should not go to that game in Philadelphia, Ethan, since you were there for both of those losses. But anyway,
and the ones in Boston too, by the way. And actually, the ones in the bubble. I was not there in the bubble for Jimmy's two big games against Los Angeles. So I think you've made your point. Continue.
But yeah, like I think that was one of the biggest reasons that the series shifted back towards Miami's favor is that they stopped all the like switching and fronting with way smaller guys. And it's like, I get that you want to put a lot of pressure on Embiid to make passes, but I just think when you're putting tiny guys on him, like there's only so much resistance that they can provide towards a guy that huge who is that good, right? An MVP caliber player. And so he's gotten even better since then. He had a really nice like playmaking season, and that was like one of his big flaws that the Heat have picked at you know, in the past. He obviously killed the Heat the last time they played, and so did Maxey. And I know everybody's worried about, you know, how they're going to be able to stop Maxey, but it's like, that's the problem with them is, you know, you gotta handle both now. And I think Maxey is almost like a bigger issue than Harden was when they played against them. Cause you know, they have guys who can guard Harden in theory, right? Whereas with Maxey, it's like, they've always struggled when it comes to quicker guys like him. Like he was always able to create separation just off of using his speed first. And then just kind of, you know, going to the step back, like no matter who was on him. Like I think having Caleb and Haywood on him primarily is going to be huge. And I think that's going to help for sure. But there's only so much they can do versus somebody that quick and dynamic with Maxey. And so he's going to be a problem. I think Bam can handle Embiid one-on-one plenty of times. But, you know, there's going to be times, I think, when maybe Embiid is on the floor and Bam isn't. They're probably going to be going to a zone with Kevin Love at that time. And I just think you got to make sure to not switch off, you know, on those pick and rolls there. I don't think you can afford to do that versus him. I think you got to keep the big closer to the rim. And then if anything, you know, you send occasional late help to throw him off his game, and you pressure him with your help defense, but I don't think you switch Bam off of him. I don't think you can afford to do that.
Brady, this is before we get back to Will here. This is bringing back memories, right? Because wasn't it you who asked the question of Spo during that series that kind of telegraphed the? Can I give something away here? I will. After you asked that question, well, first, what was the question you asked Spo during that series about the change in strategy?
Well, they were switching that entire series, like I was just talking about. Then all of a sudden, they started dropping. I think it was game five or six. I think it was game five. Game five, they started dropping on him just to glue him to Embiid, and it stopped them. Like, it stopped Embiid from getting comfortable. So you can continue.
Well, what I continue is I got a text from Spoelstra that the next day about that particular question, about these questions that are getting a little too close to the vest. So just so you know, Brady almost screwed up that entire series for Heat fans by giving away the strategy, but it does seem like a good strategy. And then again, I'll go back to Brady here in a second, but Will, when you look at, let's evaluate Spo's season. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I kind of feel like, you know, he's got the 8-year contract. I think we all believe he's an elite coach. It was a weird year, 35 starting lineups. And this is not the organization that I grew up covering, that where they fight for every game, every seed, all the rest of that. They claim they're not load managing, but the numbers suggest something different. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a change in his approach over the time that you've covered him?
I don't know if I've seen a change in his approach, but I've seen, kind of to your point, Ethan, an understanding for him that things aren't the way they used to be in the NBA. And that's okay, because one thing Spo does and what makes him a great coach is he evolves. He evolves through the changes of players, the changes of the game, whether it be 3 points and the pace and the speeding up or the spacing, whatever it may be. Over the course of his career, he's always been able to be a step ahead. I think in this case, it goes beyond strategy, though, and on the court X's and O's, of managing personalities and managing players. Look, it's just the era we live in now. Players just, you know, are miss a lot of games, and players take games off and that maybe they would have played in the past. And I think for Eric Spoelstra, I'm sure part of it is frustrating. I highly doubt that Spo likes going up there every day and saying, here's my 31st new lineup, here's my 32nd new lineup. And, you know, and he always says, you know, like he said a couple weeks ago, he was asked about rotations and he said, it's whatever it takes. I think Spo's gotten to that point now because he knows that the answer is going to change every day. Today I asked him, I said, what do you think about tomorrow? You know, what have you got? He's like, we'll see on Terry and Duncan. And obviously we learned later Terry's out. He said, Kevin's in. And then we'll go from there. Everybody's got to be ready for the role. So I don't know, Ethan, if it's that he's done anything different. It's just that he's had to evolve to the fact that every day he's going to be given a sheet and who's available and who's not, and what's in and who's out. And he's got to figure out rotations. And you mentioned, was it 35 different starting lineups? I think it is. It's the most in team history. It was like fourth most in the NBA. That's very rare for a franchise that, as you mentioned, is about stability and availability and playing hard every game. And that's just not the case the way the league works these days.
So to that point, Brady, if this is the starting lineup tomorrow, at least we've seen it, right? Like there are two starting lineups that have gotten some run this year, although both of them, I think, are still under 200 minutes. One of which was Rozier, Robinson, Butler, Jovic, Adebayo. And the other one is the one that likely starts tomorrow, which is Hero, Martin, Butler, Jovic, Adebayo. Which of those two starting lineups do you like better? All things equal. They're not talking about opponent, any of that. Which of those two starting lineups do you think is more sustainable if they had to stay with it for longer?
Well, I feel like the Terry Duncan one was longer. I feel like we saw that one much more, that the Hero Caleb one is a little more recency bias of seeing it. To not answer your question, I think that the one that we're seeing tomorrow, I think fits the Philly matchup much better, to be honest. I might actually, to answer your question, I think the Terry Duncan one probably makes the most sense just logistically. But the Hero Caleb backcourt makes more sense against that team. You have a guy like Caleb that could chase around Maxey's, we're talking about, could kind of put full court pressure. They're going to tell, as much as playoff Caleb has become a thing, they're going to tell him tomorrow, don't worry about your offense. They're going to say, literally, you, DeLon, Haywood, your job is just to make, just chase Maxey around and just make his life terrible. Because if you can even somewhat throw his game off, that is an absolute win for Miami. Like I was talking about earlier, like Embiid's going to get his. Miami's fine with that. They'll put single coverage with Bam on Embiid. They'll help over on, you know, off of some certain guys on the edges. But Maxey's the guy you have to continue to hold, because if they start cooking in that two-man game, you're in a weird spot, because now all of a sudden you're pulling off. And who's the guy that cooks them, it feels like, more than anybody when they start helping off? Kelly Oubre. You can't afford to have a Kelly Oubre game once that stuff starts going right. So that would be the kind of thing I'm looking for. But Dana, you mentioned Terry Rozier and Duncan and the injury report. The one that I feel like that they escaped more than anybody is Kevin Love. They need that guy tomorrow. They need him in the playoffs. They need him right now. And I'm looking at this like, we're talking X factors, and I agree with Lil, because I think in the grand scheme of things, Tyler's going to be the guy that they're going to out the gate. They're going to say, Tyler, you have to run the show, because they're going to put an extra guy on Jimmy. They're going to help an extra guy over on Bam. Tyler's the one guy that can break the scheme and can say, okay, I can hit shots in the mid-range, pull up threes, get to my spots. They're not going to send two defenders. I can open up the game plan. But Kevin Love, on the other hand, I feel like he's the guy that could make Jimmy and Bam's life easier. There might be pockets of the game where you see the Kevin Love Bam lineups, just because the ability to stretch the floor, the high low stuff with him and Jimmy. I feel like Kevin Love is, we're going to sit here, and I know I don't want to project too far and say we're going to be sitting here in other playoff series. We have to win the playing game first, but these games, it feels like in any scenario you could say Kevin Love's the X factor, just because what did we all say when Kevin Love banged his elbow the other night? We're like, what do they do now? What in the world do they go to? What's their next option? Like, they need that guy tomorrow.
He looked good, by the way, today in practice, guys. He had a sleeve on his arm, but he was moving. He was shooting well from three. Mm. He was working on his inside game. I don't think there's going to be an issue there as far. I think they dodged a big bullet with that one.
Well, considering how unhappy he looked on the bench after it happened, you know, we thought it could be worse. Everything with this team tends to be worse. They've actually dodged a couple of bullets this year. Rozier, we thought, was out for the season. So at least now we don't think with this injury he's out for the season. But who knows how long the season's going to go and when he can actually come back. I made the point today, and we'll get to the sponsor here in a second, and then I got a question for Will and Greg when we come back. But I made the point today that I actually think Rozier being out is not the worst thing. I think it clarifies things for this team a little bit. Tyler and Terry have only played like 130 minutes together this year over 12 games. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know if they know what it looks like. Like, they didn't have a time to break it in. And so now, you know, okay, like you said, Caleb, you go defend. Tyler, you go score. Like, there's no question about this right now. And there's really no excuse for Tyler. Like, he has this thing the way he wants it. They need him right now. Like, we've talked like all the whole narrative last year. You mentioned it, Will. Well, they don't need him. They got to the finals without – no, they need him tomorrow night. Like, no question about it. He is absolutely critical to them winning this game. But I want to touch on Jimmy when we get back for the break. We do want to mention another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, c-armandstaffing.com. Our friend Nelson and his team, 561-891-9620, 561-891-9620. They bring the X-ray equipment and staffing to you. If you work in a medical office – you got to reach out to Nelson. It's a family business. We've met all of them that come to our watch parties, just really good people, and they know what they're doing. Everything is on the website, so check it out. You can fill out the form there as well. c-armandstaffing.com. That's mobile C arm and staffing. Check it out again on the website, or give Nelson a call directly. Let me ask you this question, Will. You're around during the big three, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
All those games.
How well did you? Right. How well did you feel like you kind of knew LeBron?
You know, I'm asked that a lot, and I'm sure you are too, Ethan, because everybody, you're curious about one of the greatest players ever. Like, what was he like? What was he like day in and day out? I felt it was always a very professional relationship where LeBron took the time to really understand who everyone was. LeBron was very much like to be in control. Like, he wanted to be in a room. He wanted to know who was there. And he always knew where people were coming from. He could always, like I was saying, supposed to step ahead. LeBron was always a step ahead. Like, he knew what questions were coming. He was very prepared for the daily grind of the media covers that he received here. And it was excessive. I mean, you were there. It was every day. It was pre. It was post. It was the next day. It was shoot around. I mean, LeBron was available all the time. So to answer your question, I think he knew who you were. You know, like, he was very pleasant. And I never had a bad moment. If you ask LeBron a good question, he answers it in a good way. If you ask LeBron a stupid question, which we all ask dumb questions now and then, or a question doesn't come out right, he will call you out on it. He may not call you a jerk, but he will tell you, like, no, that's not right. This is what happened. This is what it is. And I always respected that about him, especially for a player at that level.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is they've had another star for the last 4.5 years. I feel like I knew LeBron a lot better than I know Jimmy. Would you agree with that?
100. I will say this. The Jimmy thing got hurt because right away there was a pandemic. So it was our daily coverage of Jimmy and getting to know him and that stuff went away. And then the pandemic changed everything in the way you talk to players and deal with players. So those first couple of years, you never got that like moments of like, hey, he trusts you, they know you. But 100%, it's a different dynamic.
And do you feel like, as someone who's around the team all the time, because we know Bam is always available, right? Like, mm-hmm. Bam is just, they've made Bam the face of it. He's got to take it. I mean, have you felt, just as someone who covers the team regularly, like a shift in terms of, the way that they handle things with Jimmy as opposed to the way they handle things with Dwayne and LeBron?
Yeah, and I think they almost had to. It's almost like what we talked about earlier about the game management, not just for Jimmy, but for all players, the way you deal with it now. I think they knew that Jimmy was a unique personality. And, you know, some people, when he got here, wouldn't have used the term unique personality. They would have said a coach killer, or a team killer, or a vibe killer because of his reputation at other places. Let's face it, when Jimmy got here, the reputation was that his shtick wears out thin, you know, quickly. Like, it's just right away. Like, that's it. Within a year or two, you don't want him. 5 seasons in, we're all expecting playoff Jimmy now, and everybody still loves Jimmy because he's giving you that energy. So I think, to the Heat's perspective, yeah, they've had to change certain things the way they do with Jimmy behind the scenes. I think some of it's been unique, unexpected. I think some of it, you and I, again, have talked about it behind the scenes because you're not used to seeing it, but you can't argue with the results. I mean, it's not like they've given him leeway and he hasn't produced and he has in big moments and gotten them in big spots. So you could almost understand it. But it is totally a different dynamic, and things that have gone on behind the scenes allowed to do, you know, decisions, things like that with Jimmy than they were in the past.
Yeah, and Greg, I want to pivot to that on this because there seems to be – there's a polarization here where there's like one of two things that people are expecting from Jimmy. Either he's going to be – go nuclear, right? Like he did in the finals against the Lakers, like he did against Milwaukee last year. Or he's going to be the guy who was outscored by Bryn Forbes. And I guess my question is, can they survive if he's somewhere in between?
Like, and maybe
if he's not that guy, but he's maybe something closer to where he was in against the Knicks after the Josh Hart thing, or even against Boston for parts of that series. Can this team survive it?
For one night? Absolutely. For a playoff series, I think that that's a much tougher conversation, particularly if we're talking about a playoff series against the Boston Celtics. I mean, what's that, a 64 win team? I mean, they're historically right now, statistically, one of the best handful of teams that you've ever seen. I don't know that if they're going to materialize that way, because I have no faith in the Celtics and that's just in my blood, but I'm at a spot where I'm not really sure. I just lost my train of thought. You should go to Will.
No, I'm saying where you expect him to be on the spectrum here between sort of the guy or somebody else who where he was against Milwaukee 3 years ago, say.
For one night, he can conjure that up. I think to ask him to do it for an extended run is probably a bit much. I also want to caution everyone's expectations on an 8 seed because it's a situation where you're on the road for every single series. You're probably going to be the underdog in every single game. That's a really tough thing to try to do in back-to-back years. Are you really going to be the eighth seed that makes that run? This is a team that's trying to do that, but it would be absolutely unprecedented. So I hate to bring that type of energy to this, but I do think that there needs to be expectations in check.
All right, so let's get to
something real quick.
Go ahead, Will.
To that point, I had this conversation today at practice where we were waiting. The funny thing is the reverse order that we're doing this. It may be where they start Boston or Boston, New York, whatever. If you could somehow get to that grind, though, Greg, and you're right, it's tough and it's unprecedented and it's historic. You could be looking at a situation where in the Eastern Conference Finals, you either got a who knows what you're getting in Milwaukee if they even make it that far, or an Orlando, a Cleveland, an Indiana. I mean, one of those four teams is going to be the Eastern Conference Finals. So when you look at that, it's almost like you're going inverted. If you can just get over the initial hump and get that Jimmy to conjure up and get through it, you may be ended up in the conference finals as the favorite because you've got the experience over all those teams I just mentioned.
Well, Will, it feels like the Hawks making it 3 years ago, right? Like I feel like they're the East is a mess. I mean, every team is flawed. And Boston's flaw is I think it's mental toughness when it matters. But that's pretty. They don't really have a basketball flaw, but I think that would be their flaw. But Milwaukee's a disaster. Like, I mean, yep. Dame didn't practice. They don't know when Giannis is coming back. Both, you know, man. Now Windhorst is suggesting that maybe Giannis may not be there long term. You've got Stephen A. saying Dame is not happy. I mean, the Heat just should have tried to line up wherever Milwaukee was. Okay, and then it was would look totally different.
Really quick, like they're about to face off against the Pacers, who gave them trouble during the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they're starting the series off with Giannis. You don't know when he's going to be back. And similar to last year, like even when he does come back, you don't know how close to 100% he's going to be. The Pacers can end up winning this series. And all of a sudden, not to get too ahead of ourselves, because we know this team is not like some juggernaut, but the path becomes, if you win this game tomorrow, you get the Knicks in the first round, potentially the Pacers, or if not, you know, a Bucks team that's like collapsing in on itself. Mm-hmm. Like that is your path back to the conference finals.
Alex, you may not even see Boston on the other side if Philadelphia gets their act together and they haven't played that well against Boston.
That's the benefit from winning tomorrow. You send Philly to Boston.
Right. You send Philly to Boston, which also means that you have Boston dealing with Philly, which I don't know, even though, again, they've had success against the Sixers in the past. I don't know if it's the best deal for them. I saw one other thing before we get to predictions for tomorrow and for the playoffs, which we'll swing it around here. I saw something today, and it just made me think here a little bit. They did this Jovic cam, right? So I don't know if everybody saw it, but they put it on their Instagram and on their Twitter where he was interviewing all the other players, and I continue to say this, like, he is the best development out of this season. I mean do we all kind of agree on, like, yes. Are we gonna look back in 2 years and say, well, this thing didn't end up in a championship, but this was the year that Jovic, even more so than Hawkins, that Jovic became a core player for the future? Is that kind of where all of us are right now? It's crazy how that is. He ended up starting more games than Tyler Hero this year, which is just unbelievable, is considering the way
that Jaime started.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Jovic was in Sioux Falls a few months ago. Right. Timmy was attending his games, and now he's playing next to him in a play-in game tomorrow. Like, that's how far we've come.
And we're looking for playoff Nico.
Early in the season, maybe in that time where he went to Sioux Falls, somewhere around there, I said to people that I work with the Heat, I said, I don't know if Nico's in the future here. I really don't. I just don't see the path where this is going, because it just seems that they're veering him off, and they keep saying, well, he's got a lot to learn. He's got to figure things out. And now he's the starter in the damn playoffs. I mean, that's crazy. To make that change for a 20-year-old within the same season is wild.
Well, they view him as a rookie. Like, they talk about, they'll say last year was just about getting him ready for the NBA, and this was his first NBA season. But for a while, it felt like his first redshirt NBA season. Like, they were not really going to play him. And we've gone from saying, okay, where is the path for him, like you're saying, to they're going to build pieces around him now. This is not him having to carve something out. This is, okay, how do you build an offense that's more efficient when you have a four playing next to Bam who can create for other people and has that kind of skill set? Like, that's a totally different place than they were early in the year. So I don't – this is not, to me, no matter how it ends, and we'll get to the predictions here in a second, this to me is not 2021 where it was just kind of pointless, right? Like, it was just like a carryover from the bubble season. Everybody was tired. They brought in a bunch of garbage off the That was the Mo Harkless season, right? Like, they weren't developing anybody. There wasn't anything really good going on for the future. This year, at least, there have been some things where, okay, you've got Haywood Highsmith. Looks like he could be a part of their rotation going forward and a guy worth re-signing. Nico, Jaquez. It's ultimately just comes down to their big three, so to speak. It's like, how much are the three of them ready to carry together? And can they make up for Jimmy's drop in production with the other two? And with the rotating role players, that's kind of where they're at right now. All right, let's get to the predictions here. The game in Philadelphia. I'll give mine last because I don't want to jinx everybody else. And I know where Greg may go.
You better do the right thing, Ethan.
Alex is shaking. Well, I don't know what the right thing is. If I say one way, you're going to say I'm jinxing it. If I say the other way, you guys are going to say that I'm – what was it? They call me the other Debbie Downer or something. I don't even know what it was. Debbie Dumper instead of the Sunshine Pumper. I think that's – isn't that where we went with this? Yeah, that's what it was. All right, Alex, I'll let you go first then. Are they winning tomorrow night?
Oh, great. I hate going first, damn it.
All right, Brady, your turn. You go first. I'll let Alex think about it.
Can't win with that guy. I think Miami wins. I do. I think they go into that game. I've been one of the people that say that you know, when everybody talks about Jimmy hitting this wall and not having anything left him, I still think he has big scoring games left in him. But I don't think tomorrow's one of them. I just don't. I think if they win that game, it does not feel like a game where he has to put it all out there. It feels to me like it's setting up for a big Tyler Hero game. The schematics, the game plan, the moment that he wants to be in this game. If we think back to even last year, he had a really big – some big shots on the stretch of that Chicago game that nobody really talks about. And it's like they can use him in these spots. I just think they're going to set this up and bait this in a way that Tyler has a really big game. And I think Miami wins by, you know, like 6 or 7. I think they have a decent win.
Alex, you ready?
Honestly, it's like a logic versus like gut thing at this point with this team, man. Like, it feels like it's one or the other. And I, you know, not to sound like a cop-out answer, but I really do think, like, logically, I want to say Sixers, but my guts are telling me the Heat are going to pull it out tomorrow. That is what I'm feeling. I'm thinking that they're going to batten down the hatches on defense. They talk about it all season long and every year about how that is like their most important thing. You know, Spo said the same thing to me the other day when I asked him about their defensive identity, and he knows what they have to do, what they have to be. And I think starting Caleb is going to be a part of that. Like we've mentioned throughout the show, Haywood, DeLon, like they know all the different defensive coverages that they will and won't throw out already. I'm sure they've been, you know, jamming that and practicing that, drilling that. I think that part is going to be good. So that's the part that I feel pretty good about. The offense, I think you just need Jimmy and Tyler to give you a certain amount there. And I think you need Duncan to not be the Duncan that he was during the regular season. I don't think you can expect that from him right now until proven otherwise, although, you know, that would be awesome. But I think him using him as a spacer at the very worst, maybe not having him running around all over the place with the back thing he's got going on, at worst, he can be a nice decoy for you who hits a couple threes. But you're going to need Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler to step up and do everything they need to. I think they grit their way through because, you know, like the Heat are banged up, but so are the Sixers. Like, Embiid is going through this thing. We don't know how healthy he's going to be. He's struggled against the Heat before. And, like, the Heat did make Maxey struggle in that one game earlier this season. There was, you know, a lot of RJ Hampton and Jamal Cain in it. But, you know, I think they know what they have to do. And I think they're going to be sharp on defense. Heat win tomorrow.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of RJ Hampton. Well, there was also a lot of Maxey in the last game. They didn't do such a good job the last game. Will, what are we doing? Are we going to New York or are we going to Boston?
I still think we're going to New York because I look at it this way. The crazy thing about this team is that it wouldn't shock me if they get blown out of the building tomorrow. I don't think it would shock anybody just because this team is so weird. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think the Heat played the Sixers tough all season. They played them tough recently. I think Bam is going to really have that opportunity, as you guys highlighted, Alex highlighted as well, to defensively really just concentrate on Embiid and make things tough. I don't think Embiid's 100%. Certainly not how he was earlier in the season where seemed like he was a walking 50 points. At any point, you know, he'd score 20 in every first quarter, it seemed like. That Embiid's not there yet right now. I think Maxey, they're going to throw looks at him. And I do think, to Brady's point, what we mentioned earlier, I think Tyler's got a 25-point game in him. And I think Jimmy's going to have an all-around game, those 20-point, you know, 8-and-8 type games. The defense is going to be there, and I think they're going to find a way. I trust Eric Spoelstra to devise something to have his team with the ability to win late. And I think they pull it off. I think we go to New York.
Greg?
I'm with them. I got the guts to say that the zone is going to be the thing that switches everything up in Philadelphia, throws Philadelphia off, and Miami will be heading to New York.
I hate that I have to take this position.
Here we go.
I'm doing it for you, though. I'm doing it for you guys. I don't know, man. Like I know we said that something was missing all last year, and then the switch flipped 3 minutes left in that game against Chicago, thanks to our friend Max Strus. Here's the difference between last year and this year to me, the clutch stuff. They were a really good team in the clutch last year, and Jimmy was tremendous in the clutch. He was second in the league in the clutch player of the year voting. This year, he's shooting 31% in those situations. They have not been able to design plays that feature everybody. That's why I do think maybe getting Rozier out of the way is good. There's one less guy they got to do that there, but also it's one guy who can create for himself and make something out of nothing if things fall apart. They don't have that guy. I think they'll keep it close. I do. But I just don't know that they can execute down the stretch well enough to win this particular game. I just kind of feel like it's headed back here for Friday. And I know you give me the thumbs up. This is what you want me to do. I'm going along with the program here. The vibes are immaculate on this particular program, because if I said that they were going to win, you guys would all kill me, particularly if it was 5-0. But I don't know. Let's put it this way, okay? I made no other plans for Friday night. I feel like I'm going to be in that building, sitting there. I'm going to turn to both of you, Brady and Alex, both of you who will not eat in the media room. By the way, Will, let me ask this question. This is the most important question here. Do you eat in the media room? Do you spend the $10 and eat that slop? Because these two guys, too bougie to do it. So I'm just curious if you actually – because I've seen you in there, and not just for popcorn.
Just so you know, I don't eat it, and I actually get a free meal if I wanted it, and I still don't eat it. So I usually prepare my own meal. There's a microwave over by the vending machines there, you know, right when you walk in, mm-hmm. and I heat up food there that either I cook or leftovers, and I usually bring my own food. Yeah, I don't eat there.
They comp you when you still bougie. Don't eat it?
I get comped because I'm on the broadcast, but I still don't eat it. I'll sometimes, like, if there's vegetables and I want to get some vegetables, I'll just get the ticket and get some veggies. You know, but I don't eat the meat. I stay away from the turkey.
Well, I get my $10 worth. I take 8 Pepsis. So, I mean, people, you're aware of that. These guys see that when I'm upstairs.
Yeah, you leave them everywhere.
I got half drunk Pepsis all over the place just to stay awake so I can make that hour and a half ride home when they close off all the highways. Good thing nobody lives in Key Biscayne in this group. But yes, so you will not eat. So the three of you will not eat it. And yet I will ask you this, Will. Have you ever eaten Papa John's from the arena?
Oh my God. Yeah, I'll go up there and get a little Papa John's individual pizza.
This so backfired on you. This whole exercise backfired.
I'm taking one for the team here in all regards. All right, so three of you won't eat the food in the press room. I will. All four of you like the heat. I'll see you on Friday night from the arena, eating my media food for $10, scarfing down popcorn and having as many Pepsis as possible. Check out everything else that's on the feed here. We put up a lot of shit the last couple of days, didn't we? So check it all out. It's all here on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also check out, of course, Floor is Yours, where there are guys, Brian Fonseca, Sean Rochester, etc. We'll have Sean at the game in Philadelphia. If the Sixers lose, he'll be the guy taking the video of them all streaming for the exits. That's what we're sending Sean there to do. Thanks to Greg, Alex, Brady, and especially Bougie Playoff Willie. Have a good night, everybody.